You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio, a station that likes to give you good news for your soul.
Mm-hmm.
We are broadcasting live from Hollywood, California, and wishing you a good, happy Sunday. Hope you're enjoying your day. First out, I want to thank you for listening to our show, and thanks for all the feedback we're getting. It's been great having this show and having all of you participate and letting us know all the great things going on around the world. We have an amazing guest today, Ms. Sonia Berg.
Yeah, she has done some incredible things. Can't wait for you guys to hear all about her.
So I want to congratulate you too, Tony. You had an amazingly successful show yesterday.
Yeah, I did. I did a show called I Am the King of Me. It's my motivational show where I actually perform some music and I do a motivational speaking in between. I did it with Shania Fasje, who is another amazing, amazing speaker. We had her as a guest. And the whole show yesterday was all dedicated to Book in a Backpack, which is Gail Wills, who was another guest that we had on a number of weeks ago. And she started this organization trying to get books and new backpacks to kids that are in need to encourage them to go to school and be excited about going to school. So I applaud her for starting this organization and for being a part of it at this ground level. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, and it's a great trio with you, Gail and Shania. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and mm-hmm. then we're going to come back with superstar Miss Sonia Berg.
Give me that best case scenario. I want to hear it full blast stereo.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs. Motivational musician St. Tone.
I'm a magnet, off the money now. I'm a magnet, off the money now.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sttone.com. And pick up his newest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sttone.com.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.
So good afternoon, and we are back with the ultimate humanitarian. I am so delighted to have Miss Sonia Berg on our show, otherwise known as the Zen Fashionista. She's a TV personality. She does a lot of really great projects with the community in her area. She's a San Diego gal. And Sonia, I am so happy to welcome you to our show today.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be a part of this.
You know, ever since I started seeing your posts on Facebook, I was like, you know what, we have to get this woman on our show because that's roughly where we connected. You know, I kept seeing your posts, and I know you know a friend of ours, Dave, our guitar player, David Gilman, but
right.
It's your posts that I think that really intrigued me the most because they're so uplifting, and when you're scrolling through Facebook, there's a lot of, you know, there's just things people...
Not uplifting.
Yeah, well, there's people that are either ranting about the news or they're talking that they just had a glass of milk at 12 o'clock at night. Where yours are more intriguing and got me really fired up. And every time I would see them, I'm like, you know what? This is someone I definitely need to have on the air. So
what got my attention was the dream board session you did with the kids.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I thought
I
that
know.
Was really awesome. Why don't you tell everybody how you came about doing that project? And for those who don't know, what a dream board does and is.
Okay. Well, I've always been into the law of attraction and, you know, positive thoughts and how your thoughts create your reality. And slowly, I've been kind of being able to pull some of this stuff into my TV segments on KUSI, which is Channel 9 or Channel 51 in San Diego. It's a local cable television station.
Uh-huh.
And they've been kind of letting me, I started off just doing primarily fashion, but I wanted to kind of bring more of me and what I'm really all about and more about beauty on the inside and the out.
Smart.
And so last year I got a new producer and I started meeting with him and kind of letting him know who I am and what I'm all about. And he was really on board, you know? And so the first segment I thought would be great for me to do with KUSI was to teach people how to make a dream board and to actually show people by the end of the year. I think so many people are going to discover that, wow, this really does work. I mean, it's such a small step in, like, what I think is happening in humanity and how love is such a high vibration and positive thoughts are
right.
so powerful. But I think until people really start to do it themselves and they really start to see how different their life can be when they're really thinking positive, because we're so powerful and our minds are so powerful. And just putting these positive things onto a board and seeing them every day, I think it's going to make a huge difference in everybody's life. And I started off as a little, I'm the room mom for my son. My littlest is 11 years old. And so I'm the room mom. And I said, hey, can, you know, for one of the stations for our holiday party, can we do it like a New Year's station? And I'll have them create vision boards. And then the kids that want to come on air with me can come on air and show their board. And the teacher said, yeah, that'd be great. So
how did the kids feel about it? Did they get it? Did they understand, like, what and why they were doing it?
I'm going to go back in. We didn't finish the board with everybody. The little girl I brought on air with me, one of the kids from my son's class, I talked to her mom for a really long time and talked all about, you know, she needed to finish up her board over the holidays to bring her back on in the new year for my segment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go back into the class and really, we had a lot going on that day because we had five different holiday stations, and we were doing Chinese New Year, and then we did a New Year's station, and then we did a, you know, Christmas cookies, or I guess you could call it holiday cookies.
Yeah, right.
There was too much going on for me to really spend that much time with each kid to help them to understand it. So
yeah.
We got a little general idea of it. The little girl that I brought on air with me, she really got it. She did a great job of it. And I thought it was really valuable, too, to show there's a lot of different age groups that watch KUSI, and there's, you know, grandparents that could be doing this with their grandkids
right,
at home,
right.
You know, they're babysitting or whatever. So I've gone on different age groups, and, you know, there's different types of boards that you can do. You can do, like, a general or an open board where you just, I kind of try to let people know that if you the things that you pull out of the magazine, sometimes you don't even realize what it is that attracts you to things in the magazine pictures. Like, you'll just go, wow, that gives me such a good feeling, or that feels so nice, or I love how that picture looks, or, oh, God, that gives me a good feeling. You know, you have to have emotions. The more powerful emotions that you have connected to whatever you're putting on your board or anything, when you're working with the law of attraction, the emotions are what really get things fired up and bring that to you. You
right.
have to have a lot of emotion attached to it. So my board is, I have some specific and clear things on my board. So you can have either a general and open or a specific and clear, or a theme board, like a wedding, or if you're going to remodel your house, you know, putting out pictures that really look great to you, because I'm even doing that in my backyard. So part of my board was a theme board because it was my backyard.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm doing a pool. But most of mine was pretty much of a general and open board, but then I had this specific and clear because there were areas of mine that was like my career. And so I want to get my yoga teacher training this year, and I want to renew my real estate license, and I want to get my finish up my master in Reiki training, and I want to, I adopted a bulldog, and I want him to get along with my cat, you know, instead of eating them for breakfast. So I had to go online and Google, you know, bulldogs loving cats or whatever, and it was kind of hard to find, and I got kind of scared. But I know I can do it. You know, and I know with this dog, I connected with him,
yep.
and I know he's a sweetheart, and I knew I can make this happen, but I want to make sure I put it on my board. So that's an example of things that are specific and clear. But also, you can just go through magazines, the way I explained it on air, and to these children, it's just get a poster board, get some scissors, get a glue stick, and get a huge stack of magazines. Travel magazines are really good. Decorating magazines are really good.
Right.
And I love the Oprah magazine. And there's another one that's all about, I think it's Ron Howard or somebody makes this Happy Living or Happy Loving. I got that. I picked that magazine up the other day. And you can cut out words. You can cut out pictures. Just anything that I saw certain pictures, like Women on the Move. And I thought, wow, I like that. That sounds good. And you always want to include a picture of yourself so you can kind of identify with what you're putting on your board and see you actually doing it and achieving it.
That's a new thought for me. I had never thought about putting a picture of myself on there. Tony introduced me to dream boards probably 8 years ago or more, and I was clueless as to what a dream board could do and what power I actually had until he introduced me to that. But I like also what you're saying about put things that you're not really sure why you're attracted to it, But what happens is it unfolds years down the road. You'll go, oh, that's why I was so attracted to that picture, because that's what's happening at this phase of my life. And that's always a really cool, you know, a little eye-opener down the road. So I think
it's so funny. When I look back at some of the things, some years during my divorce, too, I went through such a long divorce, there was times where I was just overwhelmed. But I always wrote down every year, you know, if it, right before the new year, I'd always write down what I wanted to accomplish. And I was not in television at all. But I knew that I wanted to inspire people. I just felt like that was kind of my mission. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote down that I wanted to have my own TV show and my own talk show. And I have other things on there that I haven't achieved yet. But I look back now and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I wrote that down. And how did I know? And I ended up, like, I think the first thing I did was a reality TV show. And it just kind of popped into my, fell into my lap. And it was for Lifetime. It was a pilot. And but it wasn't, the couple things they presented to me initially, I said, oh, no, that's not me, that's not me. And I said, then finally the third one that I kind of filmed for, I said, okay, I'll do this as long as you guys show my charitable side. I said, okay, I know this is coming to me for a reason. I'm supposed to be doing this for a reason, and I've got a platform for a reason. So I took the pilot. It hasn't ever aired, but it was still a great experience for me. And you know, and they, at the end, they showed me, like, putting all my stuff into boxes that I was giving to charity. But it was, that was part of the whole TV thing, too. You know, it's kind of getting experience and practice in front of a camera, I think. And then this other thing came to me that, you know, I started doing these fashion segments, and now I've kind of molded them in more into something that's kind of motivational for people and inspires people and that's positive and, I think, uplifting for people. So it's kind of funny how you can look back in a few years and you're like, wow, I wrote that down. I mean, it's so funny when I look back at, like, my 2012, and it's like so many of the things on there I have accomplished, but the things I haven't, I carried them over every year.
That's what I was going to say, time for a new dream board.
Yeah, I was
going to update.
I was going to ask that question. How long have you been doing dream boards?
Well, so for, I think for a couple of years when I was really overwhelmed going through my divorce, I had so many other things to do that I still wrote everything down. I've always keep a green journal, and I keep just kind of like a journal, but every year I'd write down things that I wanted to accomplish in my life. So probably since 2009.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things, the reason why I'd ask is because, you know, like you said, if it doesn't come through the first year, it's not that it didn't work. It's just that the passion wasn't there.
It might be something meant for your future.
Or your passion wasn't there, or you were still giving the universe, as we say, mixed feelings. You were stop and go, stop and go. One of the things I wanted to add to that is I've done dream boards in the past, but I also do dream CDs. And what that is, it's me speaking to myself, saying what I want to have. And it's extremely powerful because you're listening to yourself talk to yourself. And I tell this story when I do my motivational presentation. And it's a thing that I talk about, a house that I wanted, but it wasn't just a house. It's like, okay, it has to have, it's going to be a 2-car garage and 4-bedroom, and it's going to be on a cul-de-sac, and I want a pond in the back. And then I'm laughing and I'm like, you know, I want ducks in the pond. Yeah, let's have ducks in the pond. I'm like, it's my dream. Let me just do what I want. And within a year of me listening to that, I got that exact house. And I'll never forget when we were looking at the house, the realtor's like, we're walking around the pool, and he goes, yeah, there's a pond out back. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, so
and he goes, I think there's ducks back there too. And I'm like, are you serious? And I didn't realize it at the time until I was driving away, and I went, oh, my God, that's the house. I mean, like, everything.
Oh, that's so funny.
Go ahead.
That's the exact same story that John Asraf from The Secret.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yes. He tells the exact same story. He was actually my guest on KUSI at the end of last year. Wow. I love him. He's one of my mentors. We met in a fluke, too, before he ever did The Secret. I was in the gym on a bike, and I was reading a book that no one knows of. It's called The Rays of the Dawn, and it's like this kind of spiritual book that I don't think anybody would know what it was. And I'm reading through it, and he comes and he sits on the bike next to me, and he's like, oh, that's an oldie but a goodie. And I'm like, what? I go, you know this book? And he's like, oh, yeah, it's a great one. And he says, oh, and I'm a published author, and can I send you a book? And I just totally connected with him. And here we are, like, I guess it's probably at least 8 years later, and now I'm doing these TV segments, and I got in touch with him. I'm like, would you come on KUSI? And, you know, you've always been such a mentor of mine, and he has that exact same story. And another person I did one of my events with where I actually started doing my motivational speaking, I was the chair of an event called Beyond the Runway, and he was another chair of the event, and his name is Ramin Portmanier, and he's a very well-known philanthropist here in San Diego, and he's very successful in real estate and other things, and so he's very good at giving back. He and I did a lot of the motivational speaking for this event because we did it for a church called Cornerstone Church, which is it's the largest Latino church in America. And we did this thing to raise money for inner-city youth to have a five-day surf camp. And so he and I started speaking, and he had the exact same story about when he was in high school. And he like, went to this girl's house, and he was like, oh, my gosh, one day I'm going to have a house just like this. And then many years later, because he was really embarrassed because he, like, worked at a gas station cleaning bathrooms or something. And many years later, you know, he always remembered that house, and he's somewhere in another country, and he's... this realtor calls him and says, I've got this house, and she said, it's a great deal, you've just got to make an offer, and if you get here and you don't like it, you can withdraw the offer. Ends up, he walks in, and it's the exact same house, but he said, I'll get that house someday.
I'm telling you, it works.
It totally works.
And when it works, you're like, wait a minute, this actually works. You're like, yeah, it works. See, we do it as humans.
You better be careful what you wish for, right?
It's true. You know, we as humans do it all the time. We just don't realize that we are doing it. And I think when The Secret came out and Laws of Attraction came out, it was just more of a...
confirmation.
A confirmation to say, hey, guys, you have the power to do this. And if you choose to use it or not use it, it's still happening, just like the law of gravity. You can try to ignore it, but it's still happening. So... once you can find out that it actually does work, and as you were saying, adding emotion to it. I'm not sure. Are you familiar with anything as far as Abraham Hicks?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So there you go. So all our listeners out there, if you Google Abraham Hicks, it's the Hicks that actually do these readings from messages from Abraham, and you'll find a bunch of YouTube
clips
from it and videos on it, which is really great. But
So I've got a question for you because I am looking at your beautiful resume just of late. I mean, just in the last couple of years, you've done so many really amazing things, from working with the Ronald McDonald House to doing Homestar and San Diego Food Bank and the Navy SEAL Family Foundation, Epilepsy Foundation, San Diego Film Festival, Beyond the Runway. I mean, you are putting yourself out there in a major way and being such a huge humanitarian. And I got to ask you that, how do you feel the laws of attraction fits in to your drive and desire to do all of these awesome things for other people?
Well, I think that's a good question. I have never had anyone ask me that. But I know if I look back probably every year, everything I say is, I want to help people.
Yeah.
And I want to inspire people, and I want to motivate people. And I know that when I finally got clear about all the things I've been through in my life, and actually I think I had written down that I wanted to do motivational speaking. I had no idea how it was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, when I was doing this Beyond the Runway, the pastor said, will you come speak at my church?
Nice.
And I was like, what am I going to talk about? I don't know, you know. And all of a sudden, it just unfolded, and everything that I was supposed to say just came out. And I had women just pulling me to the side. Then they took me to another church. Then they took me to another church. And they have, like, 3,000 people listen to me speak that one day. And they wouldn't let me stop and talk to people. But I had women that would just pull me aside. I guess a lot of my stuff has to do with women, empowering women. And a lot had to do with being a minority, too, because I grew up in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, I didn't realize how closely it related to this Latino church, because in New Mexico, I was a minority, and I would have to run to the bus in junior high where they'd let me sit on the floor because I was a gringo. but it was funny because people were like, no way, really? And I'm like, it really taught me, you know, about not being prejudiced.
Right.
And it really taught me how it feels. And I had no idea that I would leave Las Cruces, New Mexico, and life would be totally different for me. You know, it's like I was a cheerleader until I got up to high school, and then they started voting on them, and all of a sudden I had to be a pom-pom girl because, you know, because I had the wrong last name.
Yeah, right.
And the wrong color of hair. And I just, that's when I realized that this isn't right, you know, and people shouldn't be this way. And I don't, when kids are around me and they start judging, I don't care if they start talking about someone that's overweight or somebody, you know, that's a different race or a different color or whatever, I stop it in its tracks because I know what it feels like. I've been there.
You've been on the other side. Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a young lady on, Shania Fostier, recently, and she does an anti-bullying campaign. And she was bullied because she was so smart. And she's a 14-year-old girl that wrote a book on The Bully in the Mirror, it's called. And it's about, literally, look in the mirror. Are you the bully? Are you the one that's saying these things that are hurting other people and you don't even realize that what you're saying is damaging other people's lives, that type of thing? So, yeah. Totally, totally get what
you're
saying.
And when you've been through it and you feel the pain, it's like it makes you so much more compassionate. I feel like everything I've been through has been so that I can even do more
right.
to help our society and to help the human race and to help everybody to understand that we're all one and that we're all here to help each other.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I was going to say that all the things that you have been through and being able to come back more powerful, you know, finding your own strength and finding a way to get through it. I think that's what people really want to hear. They want to know, well, obviously you've been through it. How did you get through the storm? How did you make it through? Because obviously you're here standing in front of us talking about it. And what was your mental state like and how were you acting? Because it takes a certain type of courage and a certain type of person to not play the victim card, because it's very, very easy to play the victim card. But once you do, you've just given up all your power. And the whole point of it is to self-empower empower yourself. So I don't ever, you know, it's like that victim card. So many people pull it, whether
it's the pity me party.
It's the pity me party. And like, you really don't have to do that, because if you look at this other person, like, they could really pull that card, and they didn't. So, you know, I say play the comparison game. Where are you at compared to this person? Where are you at compared to that person? Well, I didn't have a good upbringing, or I didn't have enough money, or I didn't come from this country. And I go, okay, well, this person didn't either, but look where they're at. Or this person didn't either, and look where they're at. So once someone sees that someone else has done it, they're like, oh, it is possible. And I think that's what people like you are doing.
Well, it's funny that you would bring that up, because I don't think you know this about me.
Okay, I'm sitting down. Go ahead.
Growing up in Las Cruces, New Mexico, I grew up with my mother was divorced, and she raised my sister and I, and she did the best she could, you know, with the tools she had.
Right.
But I the other day I told my boyfriend this, and he's like, oh my gosh, what other family secrets do you have? I go, these aren't family secrets. It's like I don't really share it with anybody unless I really have to, or I think it'll help someone to hear my story. Cause I don't really need, you know, like there's no reason to rehash. But I mean, I grew up in trailers. I grew up in welfare housing. You know, there was times when I didn't have food. You know, my mom was gone a lot. She's, you know, forgot my birthday at times. I mean, you know, there was a lot of painful things that I went through. But I remember always thinking, I don't want my life to be like this. I don't want to be like this all my life. And then I had the opposite side of the coin. I had a father who was in a different situation, but I was living with my mom.
Right.
And he always said, oh, you know, I say, Dad, I'm gonna be a dentist. And he's like, oh, you know, do you really want to stick your hands down people's throats all day long? And I was like, ew, that's gross. Finally, you know, but I always knew that I wanted to do something where I would never have to depend on anybody but myself. And that I was going to put everything I could into it. I don't even know how I did it, but I finally landed on engineering. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I could always get a job as an engineer, and because I was a female, so I was a minority. And my dad really couldn't – he could cut down a veterinarian. He could cut down a dentist. But when I said engineer, he really didn't have anything he could say bad about it.
Right,
you know,
right.
And I don't think I got a really good education in Las Cruces, but – I don't know how I did it, but I made it through industrial engineering. And I was determined, you know, and I went to Texas Tech, and there were very, very, very few women engineering at Texas Tech. I didn't realize this till afterwards that it's like the most beautiful women per square foot or something. But Texas Tech, and they're all there to get their MRS degree. That's the big joke that was going around. So there were very few women that were even on the engineering campus at all. And so I was always hearing from the man, oh, you'll never make it through engineering. Oh, you're not going to do this. And I was like, oh, don't tell me.
You watch me.
When someone tells me I can't do something, it just gives me so much drive to prove to myself that I can.
You're singing my song, sister.
You know, I was just going to say,
I know.
I tell people, if you can take that criticism and let that fuel your fire, then go with it. If you can't, then just
ignore
it. I
don't know what it is, but when someone tells me I can't do something, or when something's like a huge challenge for me, it gives me even more drive. I think that's why I also play polo, which is, more women are playing it now, but when I first started, there wasn't a lot of women playing polo.
Yeah,
it's
I was going to say, that's not a chick sport.
It's a very, it's a dangerous sport, and it's so much fun for me because it's very challenging.
And you can take out your aggression on that little mallet and ball.
I think I do. That's why I'm kind of combining that. I think taking up my yoga practice again, which I started yoga 19 years ago, but I just think the combination of yoga and polo is going to be perfect for me because I'll learn how to relax but still, kind of stay balanced through my game, because I think I was getting a little too tense when I was playing polo. So I think this year is going to be my year. And I have some things on my vision board that I'm not going to share with everybody.
Good. Yeah, you got to keep some things to yourself.
But I do have some goals for humanitarian causes and having my own sponsored polo team and stuff like that. That's part of my goal is to really turn this into something that's going to benefit. I think everything I do is kind of like, I always think, how can I benefit other people? How can I help other people? Mm-hmm. How can I keep people from having to go through the painful things I went through? How can I help kids? Because it took me a really long time, growing up. I also grew up with a mother and a sister always telling me, the only reason why you got cheerleader is because your sister didn't get it. And, you don't have any friends and nobody likes you. And, and I was really insecure growing up. It took me a really long time to find myself again and to realize that what they were telling me wasn't about me, that it was about them.
Right.
I don't know why it took me so long, but if I could just help. I mean, I tell my kids all the time, I think my kids are going to do very well in life because I've taught them so many things that I never knew because no one ever taught me.
See, but that's really interesting, too, because in my upbringing, we had four kids in our family, and, of course, my parents were married all the way through my growing up, and they always told us that they loved us, but I was the baby, and I still always felt like there was more going on with everybody else in the family, the other kids, than me. It's like I never felt like I got the special attention, even though my brothers and sisters always said, "Oh, you're the baby, you got all the attention." Me growing up didn't feel that way, and so when I had my child, I made sure that I was probably over the top in letting him know how much I loved him and that he was truly a loved child and, all that kind of stuff. He's 28 now, and I guess I did okay because he feels pretty loved.
I think he's been doing fine.
I know. I got accused of the same thing when I was having my babies, and I did a lot of it on my own, too. I mean, a lot of things I really didn't have a parent there to help me, and my grandma was my mentor, and she's in heaven now, and she was an amazing, she was a missionary, and she was just such a devout Baptist woman, and I remember, no matter what, even though I didn't live with her, I think you always have to have someone, no matter if it's someone in your family or not, that you have to have someone you look up to. I don't care if it's a teacher
or a coach. Of role model, a lot of kids, I was talking to these kids recently, and they were talking about how they grew up in a pretty rough neighborhood in a pretty rough house, and they grew up with the grandma. One parent was in jail. The other one was in a rehab center. And basically, one of them looked up to the mailman as a role model because the mailman was somebody that they saw every day walking the street, doing his job, always happy, always whistling, always just like a really happy guy. And that ended up to be this boy's role model, was the mailman. I mean, so you never know if you're a role model to someone in the most obscure way.
You'd never think that, but that makes sense. If he's drawn to someone like out there doing something and he's in a positive mood, and I'm sure the guy was like, hi, and friendly to the person every day.
Yeah.
I could see how a child can take to that, say, hey, this guy comes every day and he's
always
nice
happy
to me.
He smiles, he says hi, he hands me presents, the mail. He didn't know it was Bill, probably.
Well, I think that's also one of the reasons why I want to be so involved with these children, more on a, even though with HomeStart, I'm involved on the outside and bringing people in to support.
Yeah. Tell us about HomeStart. Tell us what HomeStart is and what it's about. You're on the board.
I'm on the board of HomeStart, and, every year I learn more and more because they do so much more than what I knew. They're primarily a nonprofit that helps to prevent child abuse, neglect, and domestic violence.
Okay.
Which is something that I'm really, you know, that's something I'm really passionate about because mm-hmm. children are really my passion. But beyond that, I mean, their main focus right now is the maternity shelter ward, where they actually bring women in who've been in domestic violence situations. They're either pregnant or have new children, and they don't have any place to live. And a lot of these women were living out of their cars. They were living, you know, from house to house, sleeping on couches, you know, whatever.
Not
and
good situations.
What did you say?
I said not good situations.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really sad when you hear them speak at our, you know, every year we have this really big gala that is growing every year. And, you know, we'll have one of the women from the maternity shelter will talk about, you know, how homesteaders changed their lives and how they were, you know, in a house with drug dealers and this and that and the other, and had their kids, you know, had one of the ladies, her child, the father threw the kid across the room, and he got taken away and put in foster care, and she eventually got back on her feet, and she got her child back, and she's living in one of our maternity shelter wards right now. It's really inspiring to hear what we're doing to change, but it seems like there's so, every time I get involved with a nonprofit, I also see, gosh, there's so many people suffering, and it feels like I'm touching so few lives. I wish there was like 100 of me.
But actually, I mean, you know what, Sonia, there are hundreds of you around the world. We're all doing these types of things. You know, there's a certain of us of them, but we never realize how many people we actually touch. If we break the cycle with one family, that can trickle down into, you know, 20, 30 people of that, the next generation, next generation, next generation of that family, because we help to break the cycle.
But also their friends or the people that they're working with or their kids.
The trickle-down effect, I think, is always bigger than we realize.
I know.
As
one I
person.
Have to take that into consideration.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, if there's, you know, two girls that they're sisters and they had an abusive father, then they're going to most likely be dating or marry an abusive husband.
Mm-hmm.
So if one breaks out, it could trigger something off into the other person going, I can get out of this too. You got out. How did you get out?
And then they see their female cousins going through something
exactly,
down the road. And yeah, I think it's a bigger shift than
we
each individually realize.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And the fact that you're doing it, and that's what I love about this is that, you know, ever since we started this show, we have found so many incredible people like yourselves that are out there just making a difference. And you might think it's you want to do so much more, but just the fact that you're out there doing it shows others that, hey, my small contribution is going to make a difference in someone's life, not just, you know, something small.
Yeah,
it's
not just for a day.
Not
it's
just
for a
day. It's for a lifetime. And as Janie said, it could trickle down to generations that you're helping and getting them back on their feet and empowering them to say, hey, you can do this on your own and you don't have to rely on the person who's abusing you and you can get out of that situation. There's someone here who cares, who wants to help you. You know, the funniest thing is we run into situations when we're performing and just after a show we'll be talking to someone and people go like, wow, what makes you write these songs or what makes you do what you do? And I'm like, I don't know, this is what I do. And a lot of times these people have never heard either something positive said or never felt special in some way. So just saying to them that you guys have the power to do something here, they look at you like, me? I've always been put down. What are you talking about? I can't do that. I'm like, no, you can do this. So it's extremely powerful.
We started encouraging people on this station as soon as we started it, saying it doesn't matter if you're a one-man army, just get out there and do something. Even if you're having, you know, the lemonade stand at the end of your driveway and you raised, you know, $5 and bring it to the Salvation Army or whatever. Even the smallest effort makes a bigger contribution than you realize. And if the, you know, the more people that you, Tony and I, and our listeners and the people that are involved in this type of a movement, the more people we influence and show how easy it is to get involved and to do these things, the faster we're going to, you know, single-handedly change the world and people's reactions to each other and how people, you know, treat each other and
make the shift.
Make a movement here.
There's a shift going on. Go ahead.
Exactly. I agree with you. I know exactly where you're going with that. And I agree. And it's all kind of like the 100 hundredth monkey theory, right?
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's like the trickle down. It's like a few people get it, and then all of a sudden, boom, we're all going to, like,
contagious.
Get it, and we're all, you know, the whole world will start to change. But one of the really cool things about Home Start that I didn't touch on is we actually, most of our employees that are working out with the public and in our outreach programs and stuff like that are either licensed clinical social workers or masters of family therapy. And we actually have a program, which I think is super cool, is a program that we started where we actually send our therapists in with these mothers because, like you said, they grew up in domestically violent situations. They don't know how to do it any different because they never learned.
Right.
And so we'll actually put like a little earbud in their ear, and when they're in there interacting with their child, the therapist is on the other side of the mirror, so the child can't see them, but the therapist is telling the mother, okay, now tell him, you know, give him positive reinforcement versus, oh, no, put the blocks back, you did it wrong, you know, and actually teaching these mothers how to actually get a bond and a connection that's a positive reinforcement, which I think is a great thing, is that we're not just helping people and getting them off the street with hotel vouchers and
right.
food, employment placement and career resources and helping them to, you know, do their taxes and
yeah.
stuff like that. We're actually helping to break the cycle.
You're teaching them a new way of life and a new way of being, which is really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And another one, I totally forgot to write down Miracle Babies, which is another organization I've been involved with, and they actually help, you know, the families who have things that go on with their children that don't have the money to drive their cars to a hospital, you know, to check on their child or whatever. And it's a great organization here in San Diego, well, nationwide. But
yeah, and I wanted to touch on that, too, because I know you did work for the Ronald McDonald House, and I was telling you briefly about a project I was on, but it's very similar to you saying about Miracle Babies. I had a girlfriend who had her first baby, and the baby was born with a birth defect. And, of course, it was a shock. It was their first child. They were a young couple, and they didn't know how to handle it. They didn't have insurance, so they were really freaking out because the doctors were telling them, you know, this is a life or death situation for this child. So they lived in a hotel for the first few weeks and realized that that was not going to work very long, and there was nowhere close by. The hospital was like 2 hours away from where they lived. So somebody said, it's too bad there's not a Ronald McDonald House in the area. And I had never heard of the Ronald McDonald House and didn't realize that that's what they do, is they put up families who have children in the hospital and they need to be close to the hospital. So how easy was this? I went to this girl's, all of her friends, people she worked with, all the people in her neighborhood, and I asked everybody to give me a $20 donation. We were able, in a week's time, to raise $7,500. We brought it to I brought it to this place across the street from the hospital that was for rent, and I said, I have $7,500. Can we rent this house for a few months so this family can live here while they're tending to their infant
wow.
across the street? Well, those people that owned that house ended up donating the house and starting it as a Ronald McDonald House.
Oh, my gosh, you just gave me goosebumps.
And all it took was me going to
wow.
this girl's friends and saying, hey, guys, can you help us out? Annie's got a problem with her baby, and we just want to get a roof over her head for a few months. And all it took was a bunch of people putting out $20, and then now that is continuing for years and years to come.
But you started it. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? You, all you do is you start that little spark, and a
uh-huh.
little fire will start because you start finding like-minded people, and like-minded people start thinking outside of the box or start thinking that, wow, we could do this. Instead of renting it to you, why don't we just donate it? And maybe they're in a position to do that.
Yeah, they've took it at, they continue to take it as a write-off, and now the house has been paid in full, and they've gotten so many donations
wow.
to pay for the place. Now, you know, they now
that's,
can hold.
That's pretty powerful
it's
of you.
Cool. Isn't that fun?
I mean, it's pretty amazing that you it was just a thought, and then it's like you turned it into something so big.
Well, that's,
you know?
That's what I do. I don't know why.
I know.
I don't know how. I get these ideas, and I just run with it.
Yeah, but see, that's how it all works when you start doing some great things out there. It's the little... It's a little thing that you just did as a thought, and then it starts to pick up momentum on its own, and like-minded people start joining in. And I really think that story is important because it doesn't take a whole army to get this started. All it takes is a thought and one person to make the first move. And as soon as that one person makes that move, then someone else goes, well, I can give you $20 too. Well, I can give you $20 too. Like, all of your friends had the $20, but
mm-hmm.
you were able to say, let's – do this, and there's 7,500. And from the 7,500, I'm sure they're like, well, we can only rent it for a day. Well, let's just go across the street. What's the worst they could say is no. And they said yes, obviously, and then it just starts. And I think this is a perfect example of what you're doing, Sonia, and what you've done in the past and what we continue to do is it's that little push.
Take a step.
It's that little voice inside your head going, you should do this, and just do it before you talk yourself out of it.
Right.
Before you say, I can't do this, or what's $20 going to do? The lady's, you know, she doesn't have enough money. I can't just, $20 is not going to give her nothing. It's like, no, it's a $20 that starts it because someone else is going to say, oh, it's just $20. Okay, we can do this. It's not taking on the whole burden. I think we usually talk ourselves out of it going, well, I can't give her $7,500 to rent a house. I don't have that to give her. It's like, but I have $20, and the other person has $20, and
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And I think once people join in and they start doing it, I don't think I've ever gotten more gratification from anything I've ever done
than
I do when I help somebody.
Exactly.
And especially someone in need, when I've really made a difference in someone's life. Nothing in life has been more gratifying to me than the feeling I get knowing that I've helped somebody.
Yeah, I absolutely have to agree with you. It's the same for me all the way down the line.
It's a win-win experience, you know, and it's a win-win situation because you're getting a chance to give – and they're getting a chance to receive, and you're both getting something out of it. It's like when you pull up to an exit sign, and there's a guy begging for food, if you can hand him some money, and then you drive off, you know that guy just, and he's smiling, going, thank you so much. And you're like, that's okay. I know when I do that, I go like, wow, this is so cool that I was able to do this, and I could feel the gratitude coming back that they're so thankful. And now we've just gotten a chance to experience something beautiful, instead of going, man, I can't give him a dollar. I don't have it on
me. Let
me
tell you what I did over the weekend. Weekend's just starting. This week, I just went to Las Vegas, right? I went for a conference for my company, and Tony's talking about pulling off the exit. I pulled off the exit to get gas, and there was a girl standing at the stop sign, and she was crying, and she had two cans of gas. And I pulled up, and I said, what's up? Are you okay? She was probably like maybe 35 years old. She said, I just need two cans of gas to get home. She said, somebody gave me money for half of one can. I just need to fill up the other can and a half, and I can get home. And I said, hop in the car. I'll take you to the gas station. That's where I'm going. And I put out $22. I filled up her gas tank and a half. I brought her over to her truck where she had run out of gas, and she filled up the gas tank. And I was thinking when I did it, I thought, geez, I only had $40 in my pocket. I really shouldn't be doing this right now. And my thought was, it'll come back to me 10 times. I know it will. Just do it. You're helping her out. So I get to Las Vegas. I get in my room, da-da-da-da. I put $5 in the slot machine. And essentially, I walked out of there with $270, okay? So, but bigger than that, I got a call from the girl's mother last night at 8 o'clock saying to me, because I gave the girl my business card, saying, thank you so much for getting my daughter home. She was trying to get home in time to see her dad before he died, and she got here two hours before he passed away. She got in the door.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Now I have to share my story.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a really valuable one that I showed my kids one day. It's not as touching as yours because that one just, like,
it blew me away. But you know, you don't know when you help somebody out what the situation is. You see somebody on the corner, you know, kind of begging, and you're like, should I help them? Should I not? What's their situation? You have no clue what the situation is, and just you go for it. And gosh, you never really know what you're doing for those people.
My kids were in awe one day because I do stuff like this all the time, and it's funny. We were at the beach one day, and it was a hot summer day in San Diego, and everybody's fighting over parking spots.
Okay.
And I pull up, and I'm pretty good about kind of like intuiting where's the next spot going to be. And I just kind of, people get freaked out because I'll just pull right up, and I'll sit there for 1 second, and boom, they pull out, and I pull in. And that's just the way, you know, because I don't get stressed about it, and I just kind of look for an answer inside of me, and I kind of know where I'm supposed to go.
Uh-huh.
So I pull up at the beach. Everybody's like, oh, you'll never get a spot. And I pull right up, and someone right in front of where exactly where I wanted to go starts pulling out. And this man pulls up, and he's honking his horn. He's like, I didn't leave my spot. And I'm like, fine. I go, you take the spot. And my kid's like, oh, my God, Mom, you were so – I go, no, I'm not being rude. I go, I'll find a spot even closer. So I pull up a little closer to even closer to the beach, and boom, someone pulls out.
There you go.
They're kind of like looking at me. And then I get out of the car, and I wasn't being rude to the man. I just really believe inside of me he must really need this spot, and so I'm going to give it to him. Like,
right.
I don't – life's too short. I get out of my car, and this man that I'd given my spot to comes out of his car with two little girls, and he said to me, thank you so much. He goes, I've been driving around for 30 minutes looking for a parking spot. I'm trying to deliver a pizza to the beach. And all he had was a stack of quarters. And he goes, here, you can have these. And he goes, you know, and he has two little girls, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. You know, like, that just touched me to think, okay, look how lucky I am. It's a Saturday, and I'm going to the beach with my kids, and this man's trying to make a living delivering pizzas with his two little girls.
With his children, yeah. Yeah.
Like, sometimes we don't realize why people are acting the way they are.
Yep.
And how lucky we are to be in the situation we're in. And do you know, like, my kids were, like, they were beside themselves.
I'm sure.
And I said, see?
What a lesson.
You don't have to fight with people. You don't have to be rude. You just have to have faith that there's a reason why things are happening the way they are, and that there's even better things to come. Like, you just have to have faith in the universe, and you have to have faith that when you help other people, good things will happen, and you'll be doing something for other people, too. I'm not talking about, of course, enabling, but I'm talking about, you know, life's short, and we don't need to... You know, like, we don't need, you know, people, they get on the freeway and they have all this road rage and stuff. Sometimes you don't really know what they're going through.
Right, exactly. And what a great lesson to teach your kids. What an awesome thing to show them. Because, you know, you showing your kids that type of thoughtfulness and humanitarian effort is only going to have them become those same type of children as adults. They're going to be passing that along and paying that forward and passing that on to other people around them. I think that's just such an awesome thing for you to do with your kids.
Do unto others what you want done to yourself.
Right.
So
exactly.
If you give to that person, you would love to have that someone give up a spot for you. If you're out of gas, sitting on the corner, you're like, oh, my God, I know someone has to help me. I mean, Janie and I, remember we left the lights on in the car, the battery died.
Yeah,
and I said, okay, we're downtown L.A. We don't know anyone. I have cable.
Oh, no.
So what I did is I lifted my hood, and I stood in the street with two cables attached to the battery, and I had the other two cables, and I said, someone's going to stop.
For about 3 seconds,
yeah,
he stood there.
I think two cars went by, and then after that, the third guy stopped, and I was like, man, thank you so much. He goes, no problem. And he goes, I'm like, oh, it's not going to reach. And he goes, don't worry, I'll spin around.
He spun around.
He was the nicest guy, and I was like, see that?
And you tried to pay him, and he wouldn't take it.
Yeah.
You tried to give him $20 for helping
us
out, and he wouldn't take it.
Yeah,
he's
like,
no.
Yeah, just go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what goes around comes around, and I think if you put it out there for other people, it'll be brought to you, you know, the same way. So I'm very, very happy to hear that you are doing this. We're going to take a very short break to listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Janie from Artistic Journey. Start off your new year with a new marketing strategy. Whether it's for your company or your personal goals push, let Artistic Journey help you find the unique way to show off your endeavor. With over 20 years of marketing experience in big corporations and homegrown businesses and everything in between, Artistic Journey can help you pave a new product path or an event marketing path. Check out artisticjourney.com. See the wide array of marketing merchandise available for you to put your logo on for your next big event, your personal party, or your big corporation marketing push. Get into the swing of 2014 and get your business in motion with an artistic promotion.
Hey, this is Blue Nile, and you're listening to Humanitarian Radio.
Hi, this is David Gilman of Gilman Amps, and I support Humanitarian Radio.
This is Therese with AllowingYourSuccess.com, and I support enthusiastically Humanitarian Radio.
So we are back with the beautiful Miss Sonia Berg, otherwise known as the Zen Fashionista, and we've been having great conversation with her about all the great things that she's doing for humanitarian effort around the San Diego area. And Sonia, it's been great having you on the show. What can people expect to see you doing this year, and where can they find you?
Well, you never know from one day to the next. But my goal this year is to slow down and focus a little more on the charities and nonprofits that are most important to me. Of course, I'm on the board of HomeStart, so I'll be very involved with them this year. We've got our gala coming up. Also, I'll be getting very involved with the Polinsky Center, which is, you know, it's for children that are being removed from their homes because of abuse or neglect or violence, you know, domestic violence.
Right, right.
Those are the things that I'm really, really passionate about. And I'm always getting involved with other nonprofits, but those are the two main ones that I hope to focus on this year.
Mm-hmm.
My motivational speaking is going to be big on my list this year.
Excellent. Gives people a chance to come see you and hear your stories. And
right.
Yeah, great.
Breaking the patterns, overcoming adversity, how to find your inner strength, how to overcome anything, you know, like 6 secrets to finding your happiness.
Nice.
How to overcome toxic relationships and find a happy life. I'm really all about inspiring a lot to do with women and to be the best they can be and to overcome adversity or, you know, they're not a product of their DNA and different breaking patterns and toxic relationships and
where can people find what's going on, like as in like where you're speaking and that type of thing? Do you have a website or a Facebook or things of that
nature? I have a Facebook. I have all the social medias, and I'm currently working on trademarking my name and getting my own website, which will be actually zenfashionista.com, but it's not up and running yet.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me on Twitter at @SoniaBerg_. You can find me on Facebook at @SoniaBerg. And I've also got an Instagram, and I've also got, what am I missing? I've got Pinterest. I think that covers all.
You are across the social media world. Yay.
I am.
And we'll have
and
all this.
And I'll also be on KUSI. With KUSI, I do fashion as well as basically my motto is living a holistically balanced life fashionably. So I'm doing beauty on the inside and the outside. I still do fashion segments. My next segment will be after the Oscars. I'm actually going to show women how to, you know, like what the best dressed and the not so best dressed were, and then how to create like maybe the top 5 looks for a lot less. And I'll be sending them to websites where they can buy maybe like a Christian Louboutin shoes for a third of the price.
Nice.
Yeah, just to show them, you know, if you really want to dress like this, you don't have to spend so much money, and how to do your hair and your makeup, because I think that's a big part of it. There's a lot about what's inside a person, but we all still need to look beautiful and feel beautiful on the outside, too. So,
yeah, because if you feel great, then you act great, you are great. If you feel good about yourself and what you're wearing, what you look like, you are much more apt to do great things because you're not concerned with what you look like.
Right. And that's your secrets on health and beauty. So I've shown people how to make a green smoothie that I green to every morning, or, you know, like what the top 10 supplements everyone should have in their cabinet. I brought on the happiness coach and John Assaraf, you know, made vision boards.
Mm-hmm.
I do fashion and beauty segments where I teach people how to make their own masks at home, or maybe the top 20 at-home beauty remedies using things like an aspirin with water and put it on a pimple to make the inflammation and the redness go down overnight. So, you know, I'll be sharing different things. I'll be doing an opening day at the Del Mar Races segment, showing them doing a style segment, opening day at polo, which is my favorite sport.
Great.
And then all of my charity events, which will be posted on my Facebook page and on my Twitter page.
Excellent. And we're going to put a link to you on our humanitarianradio.com also, and then on Facebook, Humanitarian Radio as well. And would you do us the honor of coming back and being on our show and let us know the progress of some of these events that you have throughout the year?
I would love to, and I love what you guys are doing, and I'm so happy to see so many people that are trying to and putting efforts into helping others and making the world a better place to live in.
Amen, sister.
Thank you so much for being part of our show, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Absolutely.
Oh, I can't wait.
Check out Sonia, you pronounced it a little different than I did. I'm sorry if I crucified you there. Check her out and follow what she's doing and back her on some of these charitable events. Do what you can to support the people who are on our show.
I'd like to send this next song out to Sonia Berg for shining her light throughout her life and being able to find the strength to do what she wants to do. This is Shine My Light by Saint Tone.
I'm here shining my light for the first time in years.
Shine.